Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word on the day of days, the Lord's day. So we ask of thee that thy spirit will teach us, lead us, guide us, and that thy word may grant us the wisdom from on high to know how to walk aright in this world of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, please turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. Right, we'll read this passage responsively from verses 1 to 8. I shall begin with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Before we go on to the study of Revelation chapter 21, I would just like to introduce you to this book that I have before me. This was a book of which I extracted and adapted part of it in today's weekly. Found it a very good help recently, and I thought I just want to introduce it to you. A book I've read before, but sometimes, you know, books that you've read before, and then you revisit. In the light of new experiences, you learn new things. Sometimes certain things you forgot, you also refresh, right, your memory. And so this is the one I have down here, Counseling Recipes Through 40 Years Pastoring, right, by Reverend Toh. And it is a book in which speaks very much to me, because I'm also concerned and convicted of a situation that Reverend Toh brings up down here, and it's the fact that counseling these days, you know, counseling and advice these days involve a lot of things that is extra-biblical and, in fact, sinful and worldly. A lot of it disguises itself in terms of psychology, right, in terms of philosophy, and then people try to bring it in. So this particular book which he has written, basically the premise is very simple. Counseling is only through one book, and that one book is the Bible. Now you go according to the Bible, that's it. No need. Just the Bible alone. Right? Of course, this will be in the realm of spiritual things. So down here he has many chapters. Firstly, why do we go only by the book? So he will give the reasons why. And if you want to have a fuller treatment on this topic, why do we go only by the book? Pray for Sister Charmaine. That is a thesis topic. Right. So the Father pray. Then when she's completed, then I pray that it will be of good benefit to us here in Tabernacle and also elsewhere. Right. It was something that she's burdened about. But of course, she is. Being in FEBC, she is very, very busy. So please pray for her, okay? She needs grace to complete it, and I hope she does it. It's very in line with what she has studied previously. I think she is the best person to write about it. Actually, I wanted to write something about it quite some time ago, but other matters have caught my attention, and then she says, oh, she will be writing on this topic, so pray for her, right? So it's actually also in line with what Reverend Toh has said now here. Why do we go by this book, right? Counseling on things on everything, everyday life, right? Just follow the book. Yes, first save the soul, then the body. Sometimes when people are sick, right, we want to talk about their body first. No, Reverend Toh says, save the soul, then the body. Rediscovering the power of baptism, rediscovering the power of prayer, the royal balm of the troubled soul, the Psalms, biblical premarital counseling. Now, this one is not written by Reverend Toh, it's written by somebody else, doesn't represent his perspective. So, this is not his, okay? Then the Christian use of money, then the one which I've republished adapted is this chapter on demons, obsession, mental derangements, and, well, in the weekly I write charms. Actually, Reverend Toh's original one is Kong Tao. How do you pronounce it? Those who know dialect, Kongtau. Kong Tao. You see, I'm not a dialect person, right? But basically, charms. Right. So he would talk about this, and in it, he talks a lot about. Actually, demon possession less, because he feels that most of the cases that we face today, a lot of it is demons' obsession. Right? That means obsessed with demons and then being carried away. And he also talked about mental derangement cases. Now, of course, some are physical, but some are caused by spiritual. And he makes it very clear in this book that, you know, if you want to minister to mental derangement cases, well, also go by the book. Go by the book to deal with it. But of course, that does not mean no need for medicine, no need for hospitals, right? In this particular passage here, he says, right, especially with regards to demon obsessions, mental derangement cases, he says, well, let us also acknowledge God has given by His common grace, right? So this involves the doctrine of common grace, the ministry of improved hospitals and mental institutions. Let the suffering patient be admitted to one of these institutions until such time as the doctor can let him out. Then after Ben, of course, he take this medicine and what? Then along the way, right, you minister to him the things spiritual. So just want to mention this because some of you may be ministering with regards to such cases. And I know that you all have go according to this pattern. I'm not mentioning this because you are going out of this pattern, but going according to this pattern. But you all may feel a little discouraged when ministering to such cases. Well, be encouraged. This is exactly the biblical pattern that is found in the scriptures. Okay. But one thing that we must know is this, okay? But before I go to it, let me read from this section on mental derangement. And God willing, this portion will also be found in the next weekly. The derangement of the mind may not be as serious as demon obsession. These can be helped by modern medicine, he put here, using tranquilizers. But of course, this is 1994. Okay, so by now, there are other drugs that are available. But here he says very clearly, but we must not rely on human cure alone. The same spiritual therapy we apply to obsession cases is applied to the mentally weak. Mental cases are definitely curable. I think what he means by that is that, you know, it can be, you can apply medicine to it and it can be under control. Some, of course, curable. Some, well, you need constant medication. Then after that, Reverend Toh writes, Martin Luther had used sacred music effectively as an antidote, not only against the devil, but also to help the mentally affected. Singing psalms and hymns and gospel choruses can chase away the blues. When Saul was disturbed by evil spirit, David would play on his harp. He would become himself again. Right, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 to 16. Right, so this is what he has written, so take good heart about it. Want to emphasize, though, as what he has also mentioned here, and I think is consistent with the scriptures, when you talk about mental derangement cases, what you often see is that it can be exacerbated, right, by sin. And that is why I want to make it very clear, because sometimes when we have such cases coming into our midst and they do something that is clearly wrong, we may want to excuse it as, oh, simply because he is mentally deranged. We must be very, very careful, okay? We must be very careful, because sometimes all these things that are done is not because they are mentally deranged. It could be a combination, both because they have sin and because they have this condition in them. But having said that to everyone, please also be very careful with how you deal with it. Don't you remember they are mentally deranged? You don't just simply go there and say, hey, or you will be in trouble. You will exaggerate things. Right, so have the right perspective. Go in patiently, help, comfort from the scriptures, but also accepting in certain cases, right, while we say all these things, while we minister from the scriptures and while we pray for them, sometimes the Lord may permit certain situations to persist whereby you need a certain passage of time before the person can get well. Right? That is according to the Lord's permission, according to His higher decree. What we can do, as what Reverend Toh says, we always remember that the doctor is the Lord. Right? And then he called himself the dispensing pharmacist. So I was making a joke about UG, because he's pharmacist. In Singapore, they can only... Is it called dispensing? Like only dispense, right? They cannot diagnose. You want to... If you have something wrong with your health, please don't go to UG and ask her to give you a prescription. She cannot do it. She may also diagnose you wrongly. Okay, because she's not a doctor. You want to get proper diagnosis, wait for Esther to graduate, and then she can give you diagnosis. Okay, that one is the doctor. This one, after Esther gives the diagnosis, and then she passed to UG. UG says, okay, based on this, okay, this dosage, check, everything correct, okay. Dispense, medicine. Right, so that is how Reverend Toh would describe himself. He will say that he will point everybody to the Holy Scriptures. His job is to point people to the Holy Scriptures, point to the doctor, and let the doctor do his work. Right? Whereby the Lord is both the doctor as well as the medicine itself. Okay, so understand this. So I hope that today's article plus what will follow later on will be of some help and encouragement to all of you in the congregation. Okay, this has helped me greatly. I never expected to pick up this book, but because of some speaking engagement, so I was doing some research. Then suddenly I come across this little book, then I pick up and read. I say, hey, actually this has some help for me, not only for the message, but for me today. And I read it in fresh light. Last time I just, you know, as a student, never encountered such thing. Finish. Textbook on biblical counseling. Read, finish, hand it over to Reverend Tan. Okay, done. Finish my reading log. But now, right, when you encounter fresh experiences, well, it really speaks to the heart. So I pray that what has been written will be of great instruction and use and encouragement for all of you. Okay. Now to Revelation chapter 21, okay, verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 20 talks about two things. Firstly, about the coming millennium. With regards to the millennium, it will be a time of rule by the Lord Jesus Christ physically upon this earth. Satan would personally be bounded, be bound in, not bounded rather, or Satan would be bound in what is called the bottomless pit. Okay, he will be there 1,000 years. So during these 1,000 years, in the millennium, Jesus Christ will rule, mankind would be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ physically upon the earth. Okay, and he will be the perfect ruler, the best ruler that the world ever had. Now, despite this, what will be in the heart of man? Remember, Satan is not around at this time. Now, this is purposely done so that men can not have the excuse that we sin because of Satan. Sometimes excuse, we sin, no, because Satan tempt us, so therefore we sin, right? Sometimes we give all these kind of excuses. Okay, so now you say that Satan tempt you, so therefore you sin. So now Satan is taken out of the equation. He is now in the bottomless pit. The glorified saints will enter into the millennium because they will be the ones coming down from heaven. So there will be people upon the earth with glorified bodies. There will be us. Very good, huh? Glorified bodies. But there will also be those entering without glorified bodies. These will be the believers who will remain after the Great Tribulation. They will reproduce. The earth will be repopulated. Now, among some of these new men that will be upon the earth, some of them would harbor a heart of rebellion. Now, how do we know this? Because in the book of Zechariah, the last chapter of Zechariah, it is stated that the Lord, right, there is this command, right, given by the Lord saying that if anybody do not come to worship the Lord during the time of the Passover, he will cause the nation, the particular nation, the particular people, not to have rain, not to have rain, and there will be famine, right, among that people in that particular nation which will refuse to come and worship him. Okay, so what this means is, although the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rule, many would actually harbor a hatred for him. They would not repent. They would not turn to him. This is despite the fact that Jesus Christ is the perfect ruler, is the most loving ruler that you can ever have upon the earth. And how do we know what is in their heart? Because after this 1,000 years are up, when Satan is loose out of the bottomless pit, he very easily could go out and then deceive many of the people of the nations to come and battle against the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of which the battle here is not even a battle. Right? Because as they come to battle, the number is dead as the sand of the sea. That is in verse 8, right, in chapter 20. Then what will happen is that fire will come down and then devour them up. Right? Devour them up. So this shows you that when the great white throne judgment commences, and then the unbelievers of the world will be judged, they really have no excuse. Mankind has no excuse for the judgment of God, for the second death that is to come, because of the proof of the millennium. The proof of the millennium takes up the last excuse that man can have. Despite the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ physically ruling, yet men refuse to repent. What more can be said? So they will be judged. Those who are unbelieving, they will be sent into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But then what about us who are believers? Those of us who are believers, well, the picture is very, very different. We will be in this place called the new heaven and the new earth. Now, this word new down here, please take note, is not new in terms of chronology. It is new in terms of quality. In other words, this new heaven and this new earth, which will be recreated by God, will be so different in terms of the quality of the world that we have here today. Now, are you a person that loves this world? If you are a person that loves this world, then you are viewing this world not from God's perspective, but from man's sinful perspective. With regards to God's perspective, what he sees about this world is that this world is ripe for destruction. In the end, this world must be recreated to be the new heaven and new earth. Different altogether, different in terms of quality. And why in terms of quality? Well, let's read on. first heaven, first earth passed away, simply vanished, no more. And then there was no more sea. Oh, no more sea. How many of you here love sea sports? Okay? Love sea sports? Yes? No? You love sea sports? If you love the sea, you better go and look at the sea right now. Spend all your time in this life to look at the sea and enjoy all your seafood. Okay? Enjoy all your prawns, enjoy all your crabs, enjoy all your clams, oysters, whatever. Because soon, no more sea. No more sea means no more seafood, right? That's what the Bible says, or no more sea. So, for Singaporeans, please go to East Coast Park and enjoy the sight. Don't complain about East Coast Park. Well, you know, what come not so blue, whatever. Because next time, no more East Coast Park, gone, no more sea. Okay, so look at East Coast Park and say, thank God, at least I have East Coast Park now. Because next time, no more sea. Should you say that? I really don't know. Because the new heaven and new earth, infinitely better, right? Well, anyway, just take it from God's word. No more sea means no more sea. Okay, so no prawns, no crabs. No stingray. Billy, you like chili crab? No? Oh, don't like chili crab. Who here like crab? Who here like crab? Better go. Quickly eat the Uncle Leong seafood. I purposely use Uncle Leong because of Elder John. Uncle Leong seafood, Punggol, go and eat. Okay? Well, that one very expensive. Better think twice before you go. Okay, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city. Right, so this is the holy city. Remember, the old Jerusalem was not called the holy city anymore by the time you have in the book of Revelation. It is called in the spirit that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember. Now, this city, New Jerusalem, is called the holy city. Why the holy city? Because no more sin, no more wickedness, no more evil, unstained by sin. So it will come down from heaven, come down from God out of heaven, right? New Jerusalem. And this word new is the same word new that you see in verse 21. New in terms of quality. The description of New Jerusalem, how exactly it will be like, will be given later on, right? From in the later verses of chapter 21, right? Which we will see. You will realize that this New Jerusalem will be unlike the Jerusalem today. It is something that is brand new. Okay, so for those of you hoping to see the old Jerusalem next time when you get to heaven, I'm sorry, okay? You want to see the old Jerusalem, better see now. Because New Jerusalem is different. Different. If you want to see the old Jerusalem, I think maybe millennium. But then again, the geography of that Jerusalem will be different already. How do we know this? Because the time the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ already landed on the Mount of Olives, the land will be split up. Dead Sea is no longer Dead Sea. Dead Sea is Living Sea. So if you want to float in the Dead Sea, better go now. Really, better go now, because next time no more Dead Sea. Okay, next time the Dead Sea is Living Sea. Okay, that will be in the time of the millennium. But anyway, if you go to the Dead Sea, I think you only need to float once. After you float once, I don't think you want to float again. Tek Bing, do you want to go back and float in the Dead Sea if given a chance? I think don't want. We all go down first time, one time experience. After that, we don't want already. But if you have not, you better go. Okay? Because next time, no Dead Sea for you to float. Gone. This Jerusalem, different. Different in terms of quality, and the main quality is because no sin. Coming, unstained by sin, coming down from God out of heaven. So God himself would prepare this new Jerusalem as a bride adorned for her husband. So some people have said, okay, as a bride adorned for her husband, so is this new Jerusalem the church? Or is this a place? Okay, Billy. New Jerusalem. The church is called the bride of Christ, right? So is this new Jerusalem the church, or is this New Jerusalem a place? Don't know. You want Desmond to help you? Ask Desmond. Okay, Desmond. Place. Place, not church. Then what come is called a bride adorned for her husband? Yeah, this was a question that I remember was debated in college. In the end, The answer was not given by the lecturer. But I think that the New Jerusalem here refers to the place. Nevertheless, why is it called a bride adorned for husband? The description really fits the church. Because who is dwelling in New Jerusalem? The people dwelling in New Jerusalem would be the saints, isn't it? The saints of God, the universal church, right, will be there. And in some sense, what if you talk about a place would just be an empty shell without the saints, isn't it? It's just like, oh, you talk about the church down here, you talk about church building. Yes, the church building only holds a significance as a sanctuary when God's people are around, isn't it? Right, it's God's people who makes up the church. So with regards to New Jerusalem, who is in New Jerusalem? Who makes up New Jerusalem? Well, the New Jerusalem is made up of the saints who will be dwelling there, right? Which will be all of us, right? This will be the place where we dwell, and you will see the place would be very, very nice. So when you look at all this place, I hope that in your heart you will see that it's very much better than Universal Studios Singapore. And some people like to go Universal Studios Singapore. Oh, very nice, all the excitement. I want to go there again and again. I cannot compare to this, okay? So watch. Firstly, why is it such a wonderful place? Because God will be with us eternally. And I saw a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The theology of the tabernacle demands this, right? And we must understand this because we are Tabernacle BB Church. The tabernacle would represent the presence of God among His people, right? The presence of God, the manifestation of God's glory among His people. And that is exactly the significance of New Jerusalem. Why? Because as the people dwell in New Jerusalem, here the Bible says that God will dwell with them forever. They shall be His people, right? So you know that whoever is in New Jerusalem, there will be none that will be the people of the devil. Right? All the people that dwell there will all belong to God, will all be God's people. And God Himself shall be with them. We shall be in His presence, and He shall be our God. He shall be our ruler. He shall be our master. And we shall belong to Him. Forever, ever in His presence. How wonderful, isn't it? Now, this ought to be something that excites us. This should be something that causes us to rejoice. This should be something that we look forward to. If we are not looking forward to this, to be forever in the Lord's presence, then something is very wrong. Very wrong. Because it would mean that in this life, you don't enjoy God's presence. Then pray tell, how are you walking from day to day, right? Because as you walk from day to day, what you should desire is that God's presence is with you, right? God is beside you, helping you, guiding you, right? You want to talk with Him, you want to commune with Him, you want Him to grant you grace, right? To live in the world down here. And then you say that I'm not looking forward to eternity with God. I'm not looking forward to be in His presence forever. That can only mean one thing. Something must have caused you to dislike God's presence in your life. And that one thing can only be this. That one thing must be sin. Right? Because of sin, so therefore I don't want to be in God's presence. I don't want Him to shine the light in my life and to know, oh, it's so filthy. That is not good. When it comes to New Jerusalem, though, all these people are true believers. True believers, their desire is, I want to be with God. I am my God's and He is mine. It must be that kind of spirit and heart in us. And this will be the people that will enter in. And how blessed it will be, because here the Bible tells us that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay, I ask Billy again. But today Billy got a lot of questions, because Charmaine not here. Okay, Billy, my friend, so will there be tears in heaven? So there'll be sorrow in heaven, right? No, no sorrow. How you know? Later it says no sorrow. Then what come it says wipe away all tears? Then that means there are tears in heaven. No tears in heaven. How do you know no tears in heaven? Yeah, this is a description of it, right? Compared with the old world that has passed. And how do we know no more tears? Well, because it says no crying, right? Neither sorrow nor crying. No more crying, so no tears. So when the Bible here says wipe away all tears from the eyes, what it's referring to is compared, right? It's in comparison with the world before. In the world before, there is a lot of sorrow, there is a lot of crying. Why? A lot of sorrow, a lot of crying, a lot of pain because of sin. Isn't it? It's because of sin, that's why you have all these things. You have sorrow, you have crying, you have pain. But because in the New Jerusalem, which is pure, which is clean, which is not corrupted, which is without sin, therefore there will be no more sorrow. And that is what it means by God wiping away all our tears, all the tears that we have upon this earth. We know that when we go into New Jerusalem, there will be no more. Wiping away of all tears. So I hope you desire to be there, really. Right? So if you are crying down here all the time because of, firstly, your sins, or because of things that cause you to grieve and to be sorrow, well, you should look forward to the time in heaven. This particular verse should comfort you. And verse 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Yes, all these things are new because of who? Simply because of Christ. Christ is the one who began this work in order to renew this particular world. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now remember what we have studied in Revelation chapter 1. We studied the purpose of why this book was written. This book was written in order to comfort the persecuted saints in those days. This was given to them so that they may know. Yes, in the midst of all persecutions, please understand that God is still in control. Even though things may seem very bleak, yet understand that all these things will in the end lead to this final end. And what is this final end? Finally here in Revelation 21, we see this final end would be the new Jerusalem, would be the new heavens and the new earth. So, ye who are suffering down here upon this earth, look forward to this because this will be the end. Understand this. And when you understand this, it would make the tribulations of this world far more bearable because you know that it is just for a while. You will be comforted in your heart to know that all these things that you have done, suffering for the sake of Christ, is not in vain. Because in the end, all these things are set according to God's plan. And God's plan for us is a very, very good plan, whereby we will be residents of the New Jerusalem. No more tears, no more sorrow. And these are true and faithful words. There is no lie in it. And God will be faithful to bring all these words to pass. Very unlike, you know, some of the advertisements that people will put today. When they try to sell you condo, right? They sell you condo. You don't need to go far. You drive along, let's say you drive along this Bedok Road, right? You drive along this Bedok Road, you pass, you see some of the advertisements, right, of an upcoming condo, right, down there. And then, I forgot, it's called Bedok Wat or something like that. Then they say, oh, it's designed to give you peace within your soul. Designed for the wellness of the mind. Then I remember when I drove across Serangoon, then they say, this is designed to give you the beautiful life. A beautiful life. All this kind of advertisement. And then they draw everything was so nice, so beautiful, right? But sometimes after they draw all these things so nice, so beautiful, and then you live inside. Firstly, you look at all the drawing, and then you live in, and later you go in. Wow. All these units are all got problem. Defect here, defect there, defect everywhere. Then you realize, actually the corridor is so small, open, I can hit the neighbor's door. Right? That's what happened to somewhere in Pasir Ris. Right, Billy? Open, hit, And all these people invest so much, all the defects, whatever, all kinds of promises made by all the people who try and sell you these things. true and faithful or not? Not true, not faithful at all. Right? And then you live there, wow, what wellness of mind. Now, even if it's the most beautiful architecture, everything done, you think that you already have peace of mind living in this particular place? You are living in a world of sin. It will not be beautiful life. There will no peace of mind if there is no Christ. But with regards to New Jerusalem, this place, whatever will be, is described in the verses before and in the verses after, they are true and faithful words. When God says, this is the place that I have prepared for you, this is exactly how it is like. It's so wonderful. No more sorrow, no more tears. There will be peace. You will be forever with me. There will be great joy. You will be there forever worshipping me. There is nothing filthy, nothing that is an abomination that will enter in. God really meant every word that he says, and it will come to pass. True and faithful. Unlike the spurious advertisements which we sometimes receive, right, about all these places which that we encourage you to buy. And then when we see all these things, wow, so nice. Let me buy. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy any condo, okay? If the Lord, you know, truly indicates your will for you to move there, and the Lord grants you the means to move there, by all means, move, please. Not an issue altogether. But what we are trying to say down here is, right, as a Christian, our attachment to this world, right? Please do not be attached to this world, but instead look forward to that home that is above, that is far, far better. It is the perfect home. Whatever we can have down on this earth is imperfect, and one day it will corrupt away. Okay, understand all these things, okay? These words are true, these words are faithful, and he said unto me, it is done! Now, how should we view these words, it is done? Now, in some sense, if we view from the timeline of the way this prophecy is given, right, the way this prophecy is given is that the new heavens and new earth is already formed, right? When the new heavens and new earth is already formed, everything is finished. God's work in creating that perfect world is already completed. Now, that's one way in which you can view it, right? The restoration of paradise is finally is completed at this particular stage. But for us who are now living in this particular time and space, when you hear these words, it is done. Is it really done? Well, it's not really done, right? It's still awaiting fulfillment. And yet, why did the Lord purposely state it this way? It is done. Well, this is one case of what we call the prophetic future. It is not yet done, but in the eyes of God, it is as good as done. And it will be done. It will surely be done. And because of that, our hearts can be fully assured. Already it is done by God. It will be fulfilled. The plan is in place. Christ Jesus has already come during the first time in order to die on the cross, to be buried, and then to rise again from the dead. And with that, the guarantee is that the new heaven and new earth will surely come. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first cause. Because all the way, right, to bring all plans to pass, I am the one who works out all the plans from the very beginning. I am the one who will also bring all these plans, all these decrees to pass in the end. It's all me. It's all Christ. It's all due to me. And you know that it will happen. From the first to the end, it's due to me. From the first to the end of the Bible, the theme is Jesus Christ. It's all about me. I'm the one who bring it to pass, and it's all about me. And since you know that it's all about me, and you know that salvation is found in me, so therefore, now, you who read this particular book, if you, let's say, have not believed in Christ Jesus, it is still not too late. You curse come to me. You who thirst, you come to me. And of course, you who thirst is not just referring to, it's not referring to physical thirst, but rather referring to spiritual thirst. You come to Jesus Christ, you drink of that fountain of life, that water of life, you shall never thirst again. It's not too late. And you come to me, you drink of this, you have eternal life, this will be your home. I will be the one who will help you to overcome the world. And we have studied what it means to overcome the world already, right, in the first three chapters, right, or rather the first, yes, first three chapters of the book of Revelation, right, when we talk about the seven churches, right, the word overcomer, right, is often used. Right. I will be the one to help you overcome the world. You shall inherit all these things. All things here will refer to Christ Jesus as well as the New Jerusalem, the things that are described here in Revelation chapter 21 to chapter 22. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Yes, the father-son relationship awaits its fullness in the world to come. Do you desire this? I hope so. But, the but here is very important now. You want to be there. Then you better make sure that you are not those that are found in verse 8. Because if you are those that are found in verse 8, all these things that you read, you will not be a partaker of it. How wonderful, how beautiful it is. You will not be there. Your place for you will be the lake of fire and brimstone. We share, right, states one more time, it is the second death. And the second death is final. Right? The second death, why is it called second death? Because you will die. You will go to the lake of, you will go to hell. After that, you will be resurrected again, only to be sentenced to death again. And from this particular death, you will not be able to come out of it. You will be forever in the lake of fire, eternally separated from God. New Jerusalem, you can only see from afar. Just like the rich man. And then the beggar. The beggar who was in Abraham's bosom. Of course, the rich man was in hell. Right, not in the lake of fire in that particular place, but in hell. But even then, the Bible already describes there is a big chasm which cannot be crossed. And then the rich man can only look at this beggar that was in the bosom of Abraham and then say, how I wish that he can just dip that little finger for me to assuage my thirst, to quench my thirst. He cannot cross over. It is too late. He can only look and see how wonderful, but he will never be there. It's over, it's final. So take note. Please make sure you are not among all these people that are described here in verse 8. Now, it does not mean, of course, that some of these sins will not be manifested in the life of a Christian, because sometimes we do sin, do fall into sin when we are not careful, but this ought not to be that which characterizes the life of a Christian. If he sins against God, he commits all these sins, he will want to quickly repent and to come to him. But if your entire life is characterized by this, and you don't come out of this, then you better examine your salvation, whether it is true, because you may very well be not the citizen of New Jerusalem, but a resident, and a permanent resident. And this permanent residency you don't want. A permanent resident of the lake of fire. Who are these people inside? Firstly, the fearful. Now, what do we mean by the fearful? Well, the opposite of fearful, of course, would mean people that are brave, courageous. Courageous in what? Courageous, brave in following God's word. You are fearful? You are fearful in what? In not wanting to take a stand on the side of the Lord. Not wanting to take a stand on the side of the truth. This is the type of fear that is ungodly fear, a kind of fear that would in fact lead a person to sin. And so, please understand, when we talk about bravery and courage in the work of the Lord, it is not an option, it is something that ought to characterize every Christian. Every Christian must be brave in the fight for the Lord. And so the test that we face from day to day, it matters. When it is placed before us, will you choose the Lord or will you choose the world? Will you choose the Lord or will you choose Satan? Will you choose the Lord or will you choose sin? And then when you look at the site that is not for the Lord, and then you see it, oh, you know, if I take this particular position, I will be able to get out of all the persecutions, all the difficulties, all the pain that I may experience. Oh, on the side of sin, on the side of Satan, on the side of falsehood, there are my friends there, there are my relatives there are my family there. On the side there are all the pleasures of the world that look so beautiful, that look so attractive. Yes, sin always looks attractive, right? That is the facade that you will try to put on, but its actual nature is filthiness. But then you look at it, whoa, it seems so pleasurable. They're all on that side. But if I stand on the side of the Lord, they will want to kill my life. They will want to persecute me. They will want to humiliate me. And then I may lose all my friends. I may lose all my relatives. I may lose all my family. I may lose my life. So therefore, let me take the other side. That would be somebody who is fearful. And if this characterizes your life, my dear friends, the Bible here says, you are not a citizen of the New Jerusalem. You are not a citizen of the New Jerusalem. Oh, you can visit Old Jerusalem all you want, but you are not a citizen of the New Jerusalem. You will not be there. So take note of this expression, fearful. If you are not a courageous person, you better pray that the Lord will help you. This is something that is important, something that is not optional. It ought to be in the life of every Christian. When the test comes, will you stand? Will you be brave to take the side of the Lord? Secondly, the Bible here says, the unbelieving. Right? This will be very straightforward to understand. This will be people who have no faith, no faith in the Lord. Right? No saving faith. And take note, this faith must be one that leads them to repentance and total submission before Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not the type of faith whereby the devils have, right? The devils also, right, acknowledge Christ and they tremble, but they will never submit themselves before Him. So understand this, okay? Right, so if you are not a believer, you are unbelieving, well, this second death will be yours. The abominable will refer to anything that is filthy, and the connotation here would have to do, right, will also have some relation with idolatry, which will be found later. So anything that is filthy in terms of the spiritual sense, well, you will not be there. Okay? Abominable. What else? Murderers. Right? Murderers. Now, when you look at the term murderers, please do not think that it refers to people who just kill other people. Okay? Sometimes the tendency is to think like that. Oh, you know, the murderers are the type that are found in Changi Prison. Okay, I'm not the type they found in Changi Prison, so I'm safe. Right? Now, by the way, if they enter into Changi Prison and in the end they repent from their sin and they believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they will be found in heaven. Take note of this. Okay, this will be at the end of the time, at the end of your life. You are still found to be a murderer. You will not be there. Murderers. Not only murder, not only take away the lives of people, but they can also murder with their lips, murder with their words. Destroying people without a cause, destroying in order to fatten your own pockets in order to promote self-destroying. Murderers. So be very, very, very careful. Now, what we see in the world is this, especially when you go to offices, you go into workplaces, right? What you see is that the world, in order to climb the corporate ladder, many people would resort to murdering. Is that not true? They would think of how to backstab people. They would think of how to kill them in order to climb and to get to the next level, right, in order to get themselves promoted. That is called murdering. Now, if you are also taken in by the same thing, and this is found in your life, and towards the end of the times, you have never repented of your sin, that would be very, very dangerous. Now, are you characterized by such a spirit? If you are placed in an office, do you take part in all these things? And does it give you a sense of relish, a sense of joy? That you're actually looking forward to kill others in order to get the things of the world. Now, that is very, very dangerous, my friend. This type of politics, this type of behavior, you should actually abhor. You should stay far, far away from it. Because people who are like that, the Bible here says, they will not enter into the New Jerusalem. Murderers. And so sometimes it is said that when it comes to churches, even in churches, we see this kind of behavior being manifested. It is very, very scary, you know. It is very, very scary because they think they can go about murdering people, hindering people with to do God's work. And they think that finally at the end of the times, they will be found in heaven. I think many of us may be in for a rude shock. Because such a spirit, murdering spirit, is in our hearts. Now, please make sure that this is not in your heart. If it is, quickly repent. Quickly check. It is no joke. Murderers. Whoremongers will refer to all those who are involved in any type of sexual sin. That's why if you are involved in sexual sin, whether be it pornography, whether be it adultery, whether be it fornication, it is really no joke. It is really no joke because here, whoremongers will be those who do not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The people of the world laugh at all this kind of sexual sin. Okay, have so many wives, or change so many wives, so what? So what, they will say. In the eyes of God, these are the people that are filthy and they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You go into your workplaces again. You go into your workplaces. Do you not see some of this in action? Right? Some men will use their charm to charm other ladies who are in powerful position in order to climb. Ladies will also do the same thing. They charm and then they sleep in order to, right, sleep with one another in order to get themselves up the ladder. And they think it's fun. And then after that, oh, life seems so boring in this executive job. At night, let me go and have a one-night stand. And the worst thing now in this world is that they may have wives at home, and then the wives at home and the husband at home say, never mind, let them do it. Because otherwise, if it's just the two of us, life is so boring. So I let him have his own affair. I also go and have my own affair. And after come back, we are still happy husband and wife. It's written in the newspapers. There are people who actually advocate this kind of life. Whoremongers, these are whoremongers. Do not be like this. Now, if you are addicted to all these kind of sexual sins, better repent. Because otherwise, you are on your way to the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No coming out of it. Sexual sin. Please be very, very careful. Abhor it. Do not embrace it. Sorcerers. Sorcerers are pharmacists. So pharmacists will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, of course not. Right? All these sorcerers. Why the use of the word pharmacies down here? Because last time, in the past, all these pharmacies will be people who make potions in order to put people under a spell. When I went to the Reformation trip, the pharmacies, they literally draw somebody with a turban, right? Urban head. And then if you study the history, well, all these people, well, they will really be involved in all this kind of spells and everything. Of course, in the modern context, the pharmacies do not concord all these drugs and whatever in order to put people under a spell, right? It's really to help people, right, who are facing certain medical conditions. So we are not talking about pharmacists now here. Translation is correct. Sorcerers, right? People who involved in witchcraft, magic. And that is why young people, especially, right, the type of games you play, does it involve magic and witchcraft? Please have a very big hatred and dislike for all these things. Because the Lord also does not like all these things. It's devilish. Right? Sorcerers do not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You get yourself involved in all these things and you are addicted to it. And towards the end of the life, you are still not repentant of it. You are in danger. You are in grave danger. right? Sorcerers, witchcraft. Don't get yourself involved in all these things. It's not play, okay? And if you read Reventos' book, you realize that, yeah, it is very real. And I personally have encountered one before. I thank God now the person is normal. In FEBC, I encountered. I did not see him in that action, but I heard of what happened. When we were around, when he was dealing with us, he was normal. But after we went for our vacation, he stayed, he changed. And then, the people panicked. This is not recorded, right? Is this recorded? Yes. Okay, then better don't mention other details. But it's quite scary, right? The things that are described. So they are real. Don't play with all these things, really. Okay? So sorcerers, take note. Idolaters, self-explanatory. You have idols in your life you do not want to let go. And a lot of things can be idols in our life. Right? Firstly, work can be an idol in our life, right? Work, we get so engrossed with our work that we are now working not because we want to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are working for the wrong motive simply because we are addicted to it, like addicted to a drug. And then we get so consumed by it until our spiritual life is affected. That can be an idol. Of course, laziness can also be an idol, the reverse. Right? Then you can be addicted to entertainment, you can be addicted to leisure. All these things can be idols in your life. Right? That would be under the word idolaters. Please do not think idolaters just simply refer to people who worship the gods that are made of wood and stone. Like, it covers all these things. Okay? When your family is also above God, that is an idol. When your friends are above God, that is an idol. Anything in this life can be idol. Money can be an idol. Idolaters, they shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Last one, liars. And all liars. Are you a type of person that like to put pretense, like to use deceit, like to lie in order to cover yourself? If you are a person that simply have a problem saying the truth, you are in big, big trouble. You are really in big, big trouble. Now, of course, all of us have lied before. The important thing is, if you lie, you better quickly repent. Now, but if your whole life, you are addicted to lying, and there are people that are like this. There are people that are like this. Have you ever met somebody in the workplace before that whatever the person tells you, you know that you should believe the reverse? Have you before not? You look so strange. You mean you have not? I mean, I met quite a few. No, you mean don't have such people? That once you hear and then the person tell you the story, you know that you can take around and then you reverse the story. That is probably the true account. Right? There are some people that are really like this. They're just addicted to telling falsehood. Now, you better make sure that you are not such a person, okay? Then, of course, the worst is that those who will use falsehood and then try to plot, right? A combination, right? Use falsehood to try to plot the murder of people. Right? Murder of people in the workplaces. Don't be like this. Right? Don't be the deceiving kind of person. Sooner or later, you'll be found out. Even if people in this world, they do not find out, right? In front of the Lord, you will be exposed. And you cannot fool him. If you are like this and you are unrepentant of your sin, you have not believed in Christ before, the Bible here says, your part is in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so therefore, check yourself against this list. Now, if there are manifestations of such sins in your life, and if you check and you know that you are a Christian, you are truly a Christian, then you must repent of all these sins, because all these sins are that which characterize the people who enter into the lake of fire. The people who enter into the New Jerusalem are people who enjoy dwelling in the presence of God. And the presence of God, of course, is a holy presence, isn't it? There is no sin. There is no wickedness. That should be what will excite you in your life. what you ought to be devoted into your life, in your life, to be devoted to holiness. All these things that are listed in verse 8, you ought to abhor them. But if you find yourself enjoying all these things, and you find yourself that you have no relish of Christ, no relish of His presence, then you better check. It is not something that is light. It is a life and death matter. Make sure that your part is not in the lake of fire. Do not just be satisfied with going to the old Jerusalem. Although if you can go to old Jerusalem now and then, you can go on a pilgrimage and learn all the rich lessons, please go. I highly recommend you to go. But importantly, make sure that you are a citizen of the new Jerusalem, that you are entering in. It will happen. The words are true and faithful. And so, where will your destination be? Lake of fire, new Jerusalem. Make sure that you are in the new Jerusalem. I would now like to ask Brother Isaac to close us in prayer. Brother Isaac, please.